Okay, so, did I figure anything else, Donna? It's better when Donna's sitting up front, because then she can get my attention a whole lot easier than standing up in the back and waving. So 2 weeks ago, what I was sharing about was how we are supposed to be those force carriers for Jesus. And the main verse that I was looking at was Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20, which, as I said, you know by now, it's one of my favorite verses. Let's look at that together. Now to him who is able, him being Jesus, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, which is what we're believing for Charlie and Kathy, for Julie, for Kyle, and for each one of us. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly all, above all that we could ask or think, according to his power that works through us. So here's the way to look at it. It is his power. It's his power that works through us. So by the Holy Spirit, his power penetrates through this flesh into our spirits. And now with that union of his spirit in our spirit, his power works through us. His power works through us to accomplish his will, his purposes, and to accomplish his results. We speak the word of God every day, whatever time you spend in the word, whatever word you read, find an opportunity, speak that word. When we speak his word, it is his power working through us. His power will work through his word spoken by us. It's the power of Jesus Christ working through us. Now, we saw this a couple weeks ago, and I'd love to go through this all again because I love the physics of this, but we saw a couple weeks ago from the realm of physics, we saw that in physics there are forces like gravity and electromagnetism. Those are two of the four forces that are in physics. And we saw that in physics, every force has a force messenger or a force carrier. Now, we saw that for electromagnetism, we learned that photons were the force carrier for electromagnetism. And if you remember, we saw that demonstrated because we saw that, well, I'll show you again. I think I have it here. Yeah, we saw with magnets. You can see the force. Photons are force carriers. They carry a message and they carry force. We see that because we saw that with magnets, there's either an attraction or there is a repulsion. It's a force. Photons are force carriers. They carry a message, positive and positive, that's the message. And there's a force that's there that repels the two things. Well, in like fashion, we are the force carriers for Jesus in this world. We're the ones that take the message of Jesus Christ. We take his word, and we are the messengers taking his word into the world. And we take that message into the world with force. We take it in with the force, the power, his power. It is the power of Jesus that works through us. So when I pray for Charlie and Kathy, when I pray for Julie, or when I pray for Kyle, when I pray for anyone, or when you pray for someone, you have to know and believe that it's his word. It's not me. It's not my power. It's his power, but it's his power that works through us. Speak the word, and his power works through us. So I want to use Ephesians 3:20 as our foundation for this morning because it is such a dynamic verse. It's a wonderful verse. But I want to build upon that by looking at the verses that lead into that and the verses that kind of surround it. And I guarantee we're not going to get through all of it this morning, but we're going to start, all right? So let's look at what leads into verse number 20. Let's start reading from Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read verse 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could think, or ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. That's a lot. That's a lot of good words there. But if you look, we start off in verse number 14. And verse number 14 begins with the phrase that says, for this reason. That phrase, for this reason, that's a phrase that ties what Paul is about to say. So everything we just read, all those verses we just read, that phrase, for this reason, it ties everything that Paul just said that we read, it ties it to what he had just finished saying. And that's important because what Paul had just finished talking about was the purpose of the church. And he was saying the purpose of the church is demonstrated by the manifold wisdom of God in power. We're going to see what that means in just a minute. But he's saying this is the purpose of the church. It's to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God in power. Now, we can look at that in verse number 10. We're going to go back. Here's the great thing about books of the Bible. Well, just the Bible itself. The Bible always builds upon itself. But I love just going through Ephesians, and I don't have time to do it, but it's awesome the way, if you just read through Ephesians, you can see where it just builds. It gives you one truth, and then it builds upon that truth, and it builds upon another truth. So we're looking at Ephesians 3. We looked at verses 14 through 20. Let's go back and look at verse 10, because we can see these verses I just read are built upon this verse. And it says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So the word that we see there as manifold. Manifold means many forms. It means that which is marked by a great variety. This is what it means. This is the definition. That which is marked by a great variety of colors. What does that remind you of? Yes! Rainbows, which we learned so much about last fall. And I'd love to go back and teach all that again, but I can't. But one of the things we did learn about rainbows, one of the important things you learned, if we remember, is rainbows are this. They are the result of light interacting with individual water molecules that are in the atmosphere. That's what rainbows are. Light interacting with individual water molecules that are in the atmosphere. So with that understanding, I want us to go back and think about that verse we just read. And I want to look at a couple of those words in specific. So if we go back, we see in verse number 10, we see the word wisdom. And wisdom, it's the manifold wisdom. Here's the definition of what that word wisdom means. And this is the definition that comes directly from, I can't remember if it's from Strong's or Thayer's, but this is a quote. This is a direct definition from one of those two books. So it's a definition that talks about what the original Greek said. And this is what wisdom means. Wisdom here means the supreme intelligence that belongs to God and also belongs to Christ, exalted at the right hand of God. Now, it's important to me, three things. It's important to me that when it's talking about the wisdom of God, first of all, it's the manifold wisdom of God, which you're going to see as you and I in a few minutes. It's the manifold. It's the manifold wisdom of God. But we see that wisdom, part of what understanding that supreme wisdom of God, part of the supreme wisdom of God, it is tied directly to power and His power. Because it's Jesus who is exalted at the right hand of God. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in total victory, in absolute victory, and in absolute power and authority. Jesus seated at the right hand of God. But remember, that is your position as well. Because you are seated with Jesus spiritually. You are seated with Jesus. And where is Jesus seated? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You can find that many places in the New Testament. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in absolute, complete victory, power, and authority. And your position spiritually today, right now, your position is with Him. And He's seated at the right hand in victory. The right hand is the position of power. So let's go back again a little bit further in Ephesians chapter 2. This is what it says in verse 6. And He raised us up together with Him, and made us all sit down, giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You and I, we are seated with Jesus, who is seated with in victory and power. That's where you're seated. You have the victory and the power of Jesus Christ. Again, it's not your power, it's His power, but it's His power that works through us. We have to know where we're positioned and where we're seated, and what He's given us and what He's entrusted to us. That's why the pressure's not on you and I. When I share a truth from the Word, if I come to you and I give you a word, the pressure's not on me. It's the Word of God, and it has His power. And as I speak it and you receive it, His power is being received. His power works through us. When you speak a word or you speak a truth to someone else, there's no pressure on you. You just speak the word and let the power of the word, let the power of Jesus Christ move through his word. It's his power that works through us. No pressure at all. But this is how beautiful he has set things all up. It's the manifold wisdom, which also is tied to power. It's the manifold wisdom of God. This is the way he has set things up. It's the way he has it for you and I. So we just looked at Ephesians 2:6. Also remember this. Romans tells us, in Romans chapter 8, it says that we are co-heirs with Jesus. That means we are co-heirs in Jesus' victory and in his power. We are co-heirs with him. What does Jesus have? What does he possess? Everything. Is there any area where Jesus is defeated? Is there any area where Jesus is not enough? No, of course not. And you are a co-heir with Jesus in everything, in every victory, in every good thing that he has. You and I, we are co-heirs. We are the ones that carry the message of Jesus Christ. We take his message. We are the ones that take his message, and we have and operate in his power and his authority. It's the power of Jesus that works through us, according to what's said in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse number 20. When it said manifold wisdom, many forms, that's you and I. Manifold. You and I, we are the manifold. We are the many forms, each one of us. Jesus works and moves through each one of us. We are the manifold. We are the many forms. We are the unique individual colors of his rainbow. We are actually those water droplets, the individual water droplets. We're the water droplets of Jesus Christ, that his rainbow of power works through us. So think about this. Remember what we just said a few moments ago. Rainbows are a result of light interacting with individual water droplets. That's what rainbows are. And that's true in the physical, but it's also true in the spiritual. It's true in the spiritual, and so we are those individual water droplets. Why? Jesus is the light. We're the individual water droplets because we are filled with the living water of Jesus Christ. Each one of us is one of those individual water droplets that then the light of Jesus shines through us and creates that powerful rainbow. It creates that manifold. Each one of us is a water drop that he works through with power. It's part of his individual colors. You and I, we are his city on a hill whose light cannot be hid. We are the ones that take his message to the world. It's his message, but it's spoken through us with his power. Had that slide ready, Donna. You and I, we are that manifold. We are that rainbow of colors. Each one of us is part of that rainbow of colors. It is the power of his rainbow. It's his power working through the individual water droplets of you and I. So we speak the word of God, and he moves through that word, and the world sees the power of God, and the world sees the glory of God, and it looks like this. This is you and I. We are the beautiful rainbow. You're a part of it. We're the individual water drops. Rainbows are his light, the light of Jesus, interacting through you and I as individual raindrops. By the way, I'm the orange, just so you know. I claim the orange because orange is the fun color. Mia, you can be the purple. There is some purple in there, so that'll be Mia. The rest of you can decide amongst yourselves. But you need to see yourself as this is who you are. You're an individual water drop that the light of Jesus is shining through you. It's his power that works through us. And when his power works through us, this is what we look like. The world sees his glory and it sees his power. It's not you. It's not me. It's his power. But it's his power that has to work through us. This is who we are in Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul said in verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said that we are to speak the word to the powers and the principalities of this world. We're supposed to speak the power. We speak his word to the powers and to the principalities of this world. It's a job that we have. And when that happens, because we are speaking in His authority, and when we speak in His authority, the miraculous happens. The supernatural takes place. When we speak in His authority, the miraculous happens. It is done, and it's done through His power, but His power that is at work through us. This is who we are. It's part of how Jesus uses each one of us. We are His cities on a hill, His amazing rainbow of lights. Let the world see the glory of Jesus Christ through us. Now, let's go back to what Paul was talking about in those verses leading up to verse number 20 in chapter 3. So we looked at verse number 14 a little bit, but let's look at verses 15 and 16 specifically. Because again, remember, this is the word building. Does that make sense, everything I've said so far? So verses 15 and 16, would you say no? Is there anybody here that would say no if I said? You would, Charlie. Yeah, I know you would. So verses 15 and 16. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Have you ever felt like you just don't have that power of Jesus? Have you ever felt like the power of Jesus is lacking in you? There's a lot of times in our lives, if we're honest, we feel that way. We feel like we don't see things taking place, and we feel like we're lacking the power of Jesus Christ. But you don't have to feel the power. You don't have to feel the power of Jesus Christ. You just have to know. You have to know the power of Jesus Christ operates through you because you're a part of the family of God. And as part of the family of God, you carry the family name, Jesus. And so carrying the name of Jesus Christ, you carry the family name with all of the rights, all the power, all the privileges, and all the authority that the name of Jesus carries. You have all of that. It's not your power, it's His power. But you have access to the family inheritance. And the family inheritance is the victory of Jesus Christ. It is all His power. It's everything. It's His power. It's His authority. You have access to all of that because of who you are. So what is it that's lacking in your life today? What's lacking? What's missing? I'm not telling you something you don't already know. It's already done. It is already established and stored up for you in the spiritual realms. In the heavenly realms, it's already done. It's just waiting for us to lay hold of it, to apprehend it, to possess it, and to bring it from the spiritual realm and make it a reality here in the natural realm. It's already done. But even more important than that, because I ask what's lacking in your life, because of that truth, there are lives around you that need to see the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. They need to see that rainbow. They need to see the glory. You've got the Word. It's His power that works through you. Speak His Word. Again, there's not a day that goes by. Whatever you read, I don't care how obscure you think it is, I promise you, whatever you read in the Word of God, if you ask Him, show me how to use that word, He will show you. There will be someone He brings across your path that day that word, it's all of a sudden going to click, and you're going to know that is a truth to speak to that individual. I've told you the story before, but it's the best illustration of it. My pastor, when he was in Romania, so my pastor and my pastor's pastor, Moses Vey is my pastor's pastor. He's the one that actually ordained me. And then Jim Menke is my pastor. So they were both in Hungary, which is where Moses was actually born. And when they were in Hungary, there was a day that Moses knocked on the door. Jim was ready. Moses knocks on the door, said, "Good morning, ready to go get some breakfast?" My pastor said, "Yeah." He said, "You know, wait a second. I got a word for you. God gave me a word for you today." And he told this word to my pastor. And Pastor Mickey said, "Man, that was such a great word." And it applied to his life. And he was energized and ready for the day. And they went downstairs and they had breakfast. And as they were having breakfast, the waitress was coming by, and they talked to her a little bit. Right before they left, Moses pulled the waitress aside, and he said, "I have a word from you from God. Do you want to hear a word from God?" And she said, "Yes." And so Moses told that same word that he gave to Pastor Menke, he gave that same word to her. And she was truly blessed by it. And you could tell it impacted her life. And then Pastor and Moses left breakfast. They went back to the elevator to go to their rooms to leave for the day. And on the elevator, there's someone in the elevator. And Moses said, "Hey, I got a word for you today. You want a word from God?" And he said, "Yeah." And he gave the exact same word. And so Jim said he got back to his room and he said to Moses, why did you give my word to all those other people? And Moses said, it's the word that God gave me today. And I knew it would be for people. Did it not speak to you? He said, yes. Could you tell it spoke to the waitress? Yes. Could you tell it spoke to the man in the elevator? Yes. See, it's not, the pressure's not on you. You just take the word that he gives you and you speak that word and he will use it in just amazing ways. There's no pressure on you and I. We just have to be the force carriers. We're the force messengers and we're the force carriers. We deliver the message, but we deliver with the power of Jesus Christ. Okay, so next verse is verse number 17. Verse 17 says, this is Paul saying, may Christ, look at that word may Christ through your faith, this is in the Amplified Bible, may Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Why did Paul say, may Christ dwell in your hearts? Doesn't Jesus already dwell in us as believers? Yeah, of course he does. So why is Paul saying, may Christ dwell in your heart? Jesus does dwell in us at salvation. We are new creatures in Jesus. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. Our spirit is made alive. We are made new creatures when his spirit comes to dwell in our spirit at salvation. But there's a difference between the spirit and the soul. You know, again, we are three parts. We are spirit, soul, and body. There's a difference between the spirit and the soul. The spirit, Jesus at salvation, when you accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ on your behalf, his spirit came to dwell in your spirit, and your spirit was made alive. Jesus dwells in our spirit at salvation. But our soul is something different. Our soul is our mind. It's our thoughts. It's our personality. It's our will. It's the unique, eternal creation of you that Jesus made in you. That's our soul. That is our heart. Well, what Paul said is, may Jesus dwell in your heart. May he dwell in your heart. Jesus dwells in our spirits all the time. He lives in our spirits. But we can still choose to close our mind. We can close our thoughts. We can close our personality. We can close our will off to Jesus Christ. But when my mind is on Jesus, when I'm thinking on Jesus, Jesus, as that verse says, Jesus actually settles down and abides in my heart. And I am founded and rooted securely on his love. The word founded means to lay a foundation. It means to establish something. So when I have my mind centered on Christ, I am rooted. I've made Jesus my foundation, and I am rooted in him. Rooted on that foundation of Jesus Christ, I will not bend. And I will not be uprooted. When I see things that don't take place, when I don't immediately see the results of the things I pray for, I will not bend and I will not be uprooted. Or if I see things in life that are contrary to the promises of God, if my mind is centered on Christ, I will not bend and I will not be uprooted because I am founded securely. He is my foundation. And I am securely rooted in him. He's my foundation. This is where we're supposed to be, rooted and founded upon him. I know his power, and I know his power works through me. It's not my power, it's his power. His power that works through me. Look at verse number 18. Before we get to 18, I know, and this is what you need to know as well, if you see things in your life that are contrary to the promises of the Word of God, you have to know. Just know that his promises will displace. You know that as you speak his word, his promises will displace everything in your life that is opposed or contrary to the word of God. Now look at verse number 18. This is good stuff. You guys should be excited. I was excited about this. Verse number 18. This is again from the Amplified Bible. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What love? His love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? What is he talking about? He's talking about the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of his love. This is where it gets really, really exciting. Because think about this. As Jesus Christ actually settles in my heart and abides in my heart, then I have the power to apprehend, to grasp, I have the power to apprehend and to grasp the experience of his love in me and for me. Now, some versions of the Bible actually say the full experience of his love. What is the full experience of Jesus' love? What does that full experience of his love mean? Well, in part, it includes the manifestation of the miraculous power of Jesus Christ in me and through me. Same thing is true for you. How do we know that the miraculous is part of this experience of his love? How do we know that? Because it's miraculous, it's supernatural. It's not of this world, right? It's not of the natural, it is the supernatural. It's not of this world, it's of the spiritual realm. It's not of the natural, it's of the spiritual realm. There's a difference. You can see the difference. Paul, this is what Paul is telling us. Paul is saying to us, he's saying, apprehend, grasp, lay hold of the full experience of his love. Lay hold of, apprehend the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of his love. That is the full experience. Those four components, that's the full experience of his love. That's the full experience. But that's experiencing his love in four dimensions. You and I, we only live in three dimensions, right? We live in a three-dimensional world. We only perceive things in three dimensions. So what does this mean? Paul is telling us there is another dimension to his love, a dimension that is beyond this natural. It's the supernatural. It is the spiritual realm. Paul is telling us there is something that is beyond our natural ability. Our natural senses cannot perceive these things. But it is the power of Jesus Christ that works in us and through us. There's a different dimension. So we live in this three-dimensional world. But what Paul is saying, and I'm going to say this slowly because I want you to picture this in your mind. Paul is saying that as we allow, as our will, and our will is a part of our soul. In fact, it's the part of the soul that, here's your spirit, here's your soul. Your will is your part of your soul. It's actually like the doorway between the spirit and the soul. So if my will is lined up with the will of Jesus Christ, that doorway is open. And all that is in the spiritual, all that is in my spirit, once that door is open, all of that spiritual truth can flow through me, through my soul, and manifest in my life and in the lives of those around me. Does that make sense? So Paul is saying to us that when our will, as our will, ushers Jesus into our mind, into our thoughts, as the personality of Jesus becomes more of the unique, individual personality that he created in each one of us, as that takes place, as we allow him, Jesus, to be ushered into our minds, our souls, then we can see the love of Jesus Christ manifested from the spiritual dimension. We're bringing it from the spiritual realm into this natural realm. I know that sometimes people hear that and think, it just hasn't been my experience in life. Expect a different experience tomorrow, today. Expect a different experience. Because what I'm telling you is not just true for some. This is his word. This is what he's saying. It's his power. It's the spiritual dimension that he wants us to live in, and he wants us. It's part of that full experience of his love. It's the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. It's the four. You know, to help us understand this, if you can put that slide up, Donna. So we live in a three-dimensional world. And in the three-dimensional world we live in, there's three different dimensions. So the first dimension, here's the first dimension. The first dimension is length. And that's something that Paul said, right? Paul mentioned at length. Well, in this first dimension, length, in geometry, length is identified with what's called an x-axis. So in one dimension, if something is one-dimensional, it's just this. It's just one line, one dimension. But now we talk about the second dimension, second dimension. Second dimension is height. Again, this is something that Paul mentioned specifically. He said height. Well, in geometry, height is identified with what's called the, y. That didn't look right. I said, wait, that's x. Yeah, it's the y. So in the second dimension, now objects begin to take on shape. Now we have a square because a square has length and it has height. It's the second dimension. Third dimension. Third dimension is depth. Again, it's something that Paul specifically mentioned. Third dimension. Third dimension is identified with the z-axis. So that gives us depth. So now we see objects that start to give us an idea or an understanding of space or area or volume. And now we see it's a cube. It has dimension. It has that third dimension. It has length, it has height, and it has depth, right? Paul didn't stop there. Paul takes geometry beyond the natural so that we can learn how to apprehend from the spiritual realm. So we can apprehend all of those things that are promised and done in the spiritual realm. Look happy, smile. This is really good news. This is really exciting and good news. He is taking it beyond the natural so that we can understand and learn how to apprehend these things in the supernatural. And with the word breadth, that's the fourth word that Paul used. With the word breadth, we see that added dimension. Now, you might say to yourself, well, you know, breadth, it's the same thing as depth, or it's the same thing as width. It's one of those. No! Have you ever seen in the Word of God where God had a word in there that served no purpose? If God spoke to Paul and told Paul to speak about his love, the full experience of Jesus' love for us, the full experience is in four dimensions. Paul gave four because that's what God wanted him to say so that we would understand. And I think this is just lovely. I just love the way the word works. I love the fact that if you read how Paul said it, Paul mentioned it in this order. This is the order that geometry will tell you. It starts with length, it builds with height, and it ends with depth. That is the exact order that Paul gave. Look at the way he said it. Paul said, we'll get to breadth in a second, Paul said length, height, and width. Depth, the exact same order. But he prefaced all of it with the word breadth. Because breadth is that additional dimension. It is the spiritual dimension. It's just as real as his natural dimension. We just can't perceive it with our natural senses. But it is the full experience of his love. And so Paul uses breadth first because it's the foundation. Everything is built up from the spiritual world. If we understand the truth of this and we understand this conceptually, if we believe this, then we have that breadth. It is the element of his love that is from the spiritual dimension that we can build on and we can see his promises come to pass in this natural world. If we believe that and we speak the word and we know that his word is his power at work through us, then we can see all those spiritual promises come from the spiritual realm into this natural dimension to be manifested here in this natural world. That's exciting. It's even more impactful when you realize what the word breadth, if you realize what it means by definition. By definition in the British dictionary. Why the British dictionary? Well, I could sound all spiritual and tell you that's because so many versions of the Bible have their basis in England, their foundations in England, which is true. But really, I just like the way the British dictionary says it. Because the British dictionary uses the same word as the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. It uses the same description, but it adds one other element. And it's that additional element that really helps us understand the spiritual aspects of this. I'm sure they didn't intend for it to be that way, but it does. So in the British dictionary, the word breadth, it does describe it as being a dimension. But then it adds this. Openness and lacking restrictions. Openness and a lack of restrictions, especially openness and a lack of restrictions, especially in viewpoint or in perspective. So here's what Jesus is saying to us through Paul. He's saying to us, open up your mind. Open up your thoughts to Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, open your mind and your thoughts to Jesus Christ. Don't restrict your perspective to just the things you see in the natural world. Expand your viewpoint to include the supernatural, to include the miraculous, to include his promises, for this is the full measure of his love that he wants us to operate in and to experience. This is the full measure that is promised to us. Paul is saying to open up your heart, your mind, to expect the miraculous, to expect something that is beyond our own natural senses, to expect to see that spiritual dimension, that spiritual, expect to see the breadth of his love for you, which is just a demonstration of the supernatural, the miraculous in you. No pressure on you, no pressure. You just have to know it, believe it, and know that it's his word, it's his power that works through you. Verse 18 also shows us that this is true for everyone. This understanding, this breadth, this extra dimension, this spiritual dimension. It's not just for a few select chosen people. It is for all. This is what it says in verse number 18. You don't have to go back there, but it does say that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people. This is a promise that's for all of us. This is a promise that's for you. So if you haven't seen the supernatural, you haven't seen the miraculous, if you have seen promises in his word, if you need healing in your life, I can show you where the word says quite clearly, God's will for you is to be healed. If you have financial problems, if you have depression problems, I can show you the word that tells you the answer, that shows you the promise. We are to operate in that full, each one of us. You can operate in that. You can speak the word and expect to see his word come to pass because it's his power, but it's his power that works through you. It's all of us. We look at ourselves and we think to ourselves, well, I'm no Abraham. I'm no Moses. I'm no David. I'm no Elijah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. I'm not even a Billy Graham. I'm none of those things. Well, that's okay. We've already had those people. All we have to do, we just have to be. We're his disciples. We just have to be what the disciples of Jesus were. We just have to be his followers, operating in his power and his authority. Because he's given us the word. It's not your power. It's his power, but it's his power that works through you. So open up our minds. Open up our minds. Open up our thoughts. Open up our personality. Open ourselves up to the word of Jesus Christ and the truth of his word. It's a choice of our will. And if we will choose to open up our hearts and our minds, our personalities to the promises that are here in the word of God, if we will do that, we will see the results of Ephesians 3:20, which again says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. That's the supernatural. That's the spiritual realm, the spiritual dimension. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to his power that works through you. It's his power, but it must work through you and I. We have to be the ones that speak his word. We have to be the ones that are the vessels that he moves through. Donna, can you bring that rainbow thing back up again? So you are the unique color of the many-fold wisdom and power of Jesus Christ. That's you. You're one of those individual water droplets that the light of Jesus is moving through. You are a water droplet that Jesus is moving through, his light moving through to make you one of those beautiful colors, a unique color. Your color is unlike any other color. That's something I'm going to talk about next week. But your color, the colors that are in Jesus, the colors of heaven, we can't even imagine them all. And I'll show you that. I'll prove that through someone's life next week. But that's who you are. That's what we're supposed to be. We are the messengers for Jesus, taking his word to the world. And we are his force carriers. We take it with force because we are taking the power of the word of God in all the things. So we operate in his power. Let's operate in that breadth, that dimension of breadth, the spiritual dimension, and see his promises come to pass in our lives. Amen? Jesus, we thank you and praise you. I thank you that your word just becomes that illumination to us. And we see it and we understand it in ways we never have before, but that we have an expectation to see, to live in the full experience of your love, the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of your love. And we want you to be glorified through it. You be glorified. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's stand up and close with praise and worship this morning.